Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. You're in time for another edition of Spiritual Perspectives, where we are taking a look at that all-important practice, habit. I hope that we're developing it into practice and habit of developing resiliency. And I had mentioned that I wanted us to take a look at developing resilience holistically, because you know, we are more than just our spirit. We're more than just our mind. We're more than just our body. And so all that we are can and probably should be engaged in the whole process of becoming more resilient. And so today I want to focus on emotional resilience. Yep, emotional resilience. I think that a lot of times if we can get to the point where we're handling it well on that front, it can help us handle it well on the other fronts. So let's take a look at that. And I want to share with you, as a matter of fact, I've been reading a bit about this from quite a few authors. I'm going to focus today on a contributor to Psychology Today, Dr. Brad Waters. Brad Waters sharing with us some ways that we can become emotionally resilient. Now, just in case, again, you know, you're tempted to think that our emotions are really not that important. They don't play a significant role in our overall well-being. I want you to remember now, sometimes a situation comes up, and it's a scary situation. It may be sudden. I mean, literally, 1 minute, things are going fine, and the next second, there's someone barreling down on you on the road. And I mean, you see your life flash before you, because it looks like within 3 seconds max, contact is going to be made. Or maybe you're in a situation where something is going on and you don't see death as being imminent within 3 seconds. Maybe, though, there is a significant threat of loss of life over the course of maybe the next 15 minutes or 30 minutes even. And sometimes when people get in situations like that, they panic. They push the panic button and they really panic. And when we panic, we are allowing our emotions, we're literally allowing our emotions to get completely out of control. I mean completely out of control. And when we get to that point, we make it just about impossible to deliberately think clearly and accurately about how we should respond to the threat, because our emotions have just overwhelmed us in the form of panic. That's one way that we can respond to a situation in a way that we allow our emotions to, you know, just mess up our overall well-being. We make the wrong move and it can be over. Life is ended. But what about when we are not necessarily going to respond in that kind of way, but maybe there's some type of ongoing abuse. Some kind of ongoing abuse, whether it's sexual abuse, other physical abuse, emotional abuse. So think about at home. Thinking at home. And we have a family member who is just constantly abusing us in any number of ways. Well, let's just say, just to simplify it, let's just say it's through sexual abuse. So here we go. We've suffered this abuse, let's just say, for 3 months. And then, not knowing it, but around the corner in the same neighborhood where we live, let's just say it's the same neighborhood. Well, we can say the same city. Let's just say in the same city, someone else, our age, is also being abused by a family member for the same length of time, 3 months. And let's just say in the same way. So let's just simplify it further by saying you have this person in their home who's being sexually abused, and it started and it continued for 3 months somewhere in the same city, whether they know each other or not, somewhere in the same city, someone else, same age, is also being sexually abused. And for 3 months, they're both the same age, same type of abuse, sexual abuse, and the abuse lasts for the same length of time, 3 months. Finally, it ends. So what we have now is not only the trauma, but how each of those two people chooses to respond to the trauma. Now, they're both going to be traumatized. They're both going to really go through some changes because of what they have experienced. One person may choose to deal with their trauma, their abuse, by becoming very, very, very promiscuous. And they could do that for any number of reasons. Maybe they're trying to forget the abuse that they did not want by having numerous sexual encounters that they do want, and hoping that those will help them forget the pain of the experience they did not want. Maybe they shut down sexually and don't want to have sex with anyone under any circumstances. And even after becoming married, the trauma of the sexual abuse that may have occurred 10 years prior is still there with them. Not blaming now. We're not blaming. We're simply explaining. That trauma, the effects of it are still there with them. And they cannot relax to have sexual intercourse with their spouse. On the other hand, the other person on the other part of the city who was sexually abused at the same age and for the same length of time, 3 months, whether through counseling or just deciding to respond differently after thinking it through for a while, decided, okay, this was wrong. This should not have happened to me. But what happened to me is not going to define who I am. It is not going to determine how I live my life for the rest of my life. And they grow up, they continue their lives fairly well adjusted, and they get married. And what happened to them when they were younger, 10 years prior, that sexual abuse event, does not interfere with their ability to enjoy sexual intercourse with their spouse. It's just a matter of, it is partly a matter of how we respond to the emotional trauma of what we experience. One person adjusted well, the other poorly. And you can best believe that if their mate, if their partner really does want them to enjoy, wants both of them, not just self, but both of them to truly and consistently enjoy a beautiful sex life, the inability of the one who was abused to engage sexually is going to cause problems for that relationship, for that marriage. They may need to receive counseling in order to work through that and get past it and move forward. What happened emotionally, having an impact on what's going on mentally? Our emotional well-being does matter. It counts. And so one of the things that Hara Murano wrote some time ago was that at the heart of resilience is a belief in oneself, yet also a belief in something, or I'll say, someone larger than oneself. Resilient people don't let adversity define them. How many of you have found yourselves in some type of adversity? It may not have been sexual abuse. Maybe it was ongoing abuse at work, at the hands of a boss. It could be abuse occurring any number of places. at the hands of any number of people. And we could see ourselves as helpless victims who will never be able to overcome what we've been through. That person who says, I'm a sex abuse victim, and they don't see themselves as anything but that. Almost everything that they has to do with how they see themselves is filtered through the screen or the filter of, I'm a sex abuse victim. How might that affect the way they see themselves? They may see themselves as unworthy. They may see themselves as unattractive. They may see themselves as having little value. Because if they had great value, how could this person who abused them have abused them? And they make the mistake of letting their adversity define them. Resilient people don't do that. Resilient people don't let adversity define them. They find resilience by moving towards a goal beyond themselves, transcending the pain and the grief by perceiving bad times as a temporary state of affairs. It's possible to strengthen your inner self and your belief in yourself to define yourself as capable and competent. It's possible to fortify your psyche. It is possible to develop a sense of mastery. Now, one of the things that we talked about, we touched on, was this whole issue of not only believing in ourselves, but believing in something larger than self. And I really prefer to think also of someone, believing in someone larger than self. I tell you, it's so important that we truly believe that God is, and that he truly is bigger than all of us and is able to help us work through whatever we may have gone through, whatever we may be going through. Whatever it is, able to work through it with God's help. And believing that despite what may have happened, despite what did happen, we can develop a sense of mastery and get to the point where we are able to have some control in our lives. I say some because none of us has complete control in our lives. Our Creator has a lot of control in our lives. There are people for whom we work, and they have job descriptions that we need to fulfill if we're going to get paid. You know, so none of us has complete control over our lives. We do have to pay taxes or pay a price for not paying them. We don't have complete control, but we should have some control. And one of the things that we can do as we are exercising some control over our lives is fortify our psyches for adverse situations. In other words, we don't have to just wait until adverse situations, traumatic situations show up in order to start dealing with them. We can actually prepare in some ways, on some level, for traumatic situations, crisis events. How do we fortify our psyche to ride the waves of adversity rather than being pulled under by the torrent of crisis situations, adverse circumstances? Another way to ask, to approach this is to ask the question, how is it that some people handle incredible amounts of stress while other people quickly fall apart under stress? The people who master resilience tend to be skilled in preparing for emotional emergencies and adept at accepting what comes at them with flexibility rather than rigidity. For example, something's come at them, and I mean come at them hard. And they may say, well, you know what, times are tough right now, but I know things are going to get better. Circumstances are going to change. And so rather than being really, really rigid and stiffening their hearts, stiffening their souls, to try to ride out for the next 40 years, the next 60 years, this bad situation that they see as being unchangeable, they say, hey, this is getting better. The old metaphor applies. Resilient people are like bamboo in a hurricane. They bend rather than break. There's nothing that says that you have to just stand. And I mean stand straight and tall the whole time that hurricane force winds are beating against you. You might find yourself bending a bit. That doesn't mean you're less of a Christian. That doesn't mean that you're unfaithful as a saint of God. It doesn't mean that you're weak. Remember, the Apostle Paul really talked about some hard times that he went to and went through. And he talked about, for example, the fact that he had received from the Jews 39 lashes on 5 different occasions. He was put in prison. 3 times he was beaten with rods. On 1 occasion he was stoned. On 3 occasions he was shipwrecked. Spent a night and a day in the open sea. I mean, he had all kinds of things going on in his life. And he was one who, looking at all that he went through, talked about how, you know, we can be knocked down but not out. Yeah, no need to pretend that we're not taking a beating when we are taking a beating. That denial doesn't help anything. No, we need to be honest. We need to be real. And know that it really is okay to bend. In fact, sometimes it is necessary to bend in order to avoid being broken. Even if they feel like they're broken for a time, there's still a part of them deep inside that knows they will not be broken forever. So, how can we develop emotional resilience? Well, here's one thing we can do. Know our boundaries. Resilient people understand that there's a separation between who they are at their core and the cause of their temporary suffering. The stress or trauma might play a part in their story, but it does not overtake their permanent identity. They know their boundaries. And with this, I want to add something else. I'd like to inject this because this is important. In knowing your boundaries, also know and acknowledge, accept your limitations. Don't try to be Superman or Superwoman. You can't take everything. You can't. No, accept that we have limitations and that those limitations need to be honored. Yes, not violated. They need to be honored. I can't do this. I can't put anything else on my plate, because if I put anything else on my plate, I will wear myself out and I won't be any good to anyone. Yeah, so I'm just saying, be real as we go about the business of developing resilience. Realize that it really is wise for us to do some self-examining, so that we can have a knowledge of what our limitations are, preferably before we run up against the wall. Stay with me. I'll be right back.